to the worship team. We are coming now to the Christmas season, that we are entering that time of year when decorations show up not just in our church. Oh, you know, I didn't even mention the children should be dismissed. They're all looking at me confused, like, do we get to go down there? Come on, don't make me listen to you. At least one of those kids listens to me pretty much most of the week, so getting a break every once in a while isn't a problem. We are in Christmas to celebrate what God has done, the work of Jesus so many years ago, and especially his coming as a baby in the beginning of that earthly life. It is a time of great rejoicing and joy, and that's the theme that we have over the next few weeks, the joy of Christmas, that it is a time of rejoicing because it is a time when we remember what God has done, his work in this world. That's not to say that I'm ignorant of the hardships that can be at Christmas, that even in the happiest family, there can be added stress at this time of year, that I know it can be difficult figuring out what gifts to give to other people, to figure out what kids are interested in these days, if you have cousins or nieces and nephews or grandchildren that you're buying for. And sheepishly coming to a parent and saying, now remind me, how old are your kids these days? And what kind of things do they like now? Perfect. Okay, I'll see if I can find that in my budget somehow. And the greater sadnesses that can come at Christmas and at the holidays, when things no longer are the way they used to be. There's a sadness in that. People who are no longer able to join you at the table. Or traditions that have fallen by the wayside. Maybe that the next generation never really picked up. And you wish you could go back to those good old days when you did things the way you did when you were a kid. There is a measure of sadness and heartache that can come at the holidays. And yet, with all of that being true, I believe this is a time of joy and rejoicing. And as your pastor, part of my job is to remind you of what is to come and the promises that God has for us and the truth of his working in this world. We live in the middle of that time between the is and the not yet. What is going on today is not really the full part of God's plan. The things are going to get better and be made right. And Christmas is a sign of that, God's work in this world. And so we rejoice at Christmas time. And my hope is that I can share some joy with you as we come through the Christmas season, and beyond that, that you would pass joy on to those around you. Because as believers, I see that we have a special type of joy that this world, apart from knowing God, does not have access to. So we rejoice together at Christmas. One of those signs of rejoicing, one of those things that always cheers me up at least, is getting a Christmas card. You go to your mailbox and you see the pile of things that are there, and Christmas cards tend to stand out, don't they? They have their own unique shape, their own style of envelope. Oftentimes they have a handwritten address and return address. Even before you get inside and open it up, you can see who it's from. I haven't heard from them for a while. Many people are in the habit of sending out Christmas cards to a long list of people. And so even people they don't see very often or maybe hardly ever speak to in the year are still on that Christmas card list. And you can see that connection is being maintained, at least in one part, even if you're not together. And I love those cards that have a little update from the family. More than just a little note that go through, here's some things that have gone on in the last year. I think this might be something that is more common with younger families when more things are changing, when you get to list off the new ages of the kids and changing jobs or moves and new experiences that their kids are going through in school or in sports. Later on in life, your update might just be, we did the same thing as last year. We liked it then and we still liked it now. Oh, the tree got a little bit taller. But to see those updates, to be reminded of what's going on. And especially from believers, to include in there, here's how God has blessed me. Here's what God has done in my life. Here's the ways we rejoice. And if they really know you, if they're close to you, or they're sending it out to other believing families, maybe a little line. In this next year, if you could pray for this, lift up my grandson who's struggling. Or would you pray for my family as we're going through this health scare or through a treatment? The reminder that God is at work and we can come to God and ask him to continue to work, to do new things. That joy that comes when you receive a message of Christmas, what God is doing. As we begin our journey through the Christmas passages, we start with almost a type of a Christmas card. The message of the angels coming to Mary and to Joseph. I'm going to read from two different passages today, and you see them up there from Luke and from Matthew. I'm actually going to look at Luke chapter 1 to start with, and then while you're flipping through the pages, you can put your thumb over in Matthew chapter 1. I'll read both of these sections, the angels and their message coming to Mary and to Joseph. So if you've taken a moment to find Luke 1, we'll start in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And then if you flip over to Matthew, the book of Matthew will begin in chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your incredible work, for the gift of your word. And as we come to this time of year, we ask especially that you would give us joy and that you would give us boldness to share that joy. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here we have this unusual message that comes to Mary and to Joseph, each receiving a messenger. That's what an angel means. The word angel means messenger. Now a messenger from God, bringing not just a little card with a picture on it, but bringing a great message that would change their lives. And this is a message of joy. It starts out as joy in the blessings that God brings. First, they see joy in blessing. You notice that throughout Scripture, when angels appear to people, the first response is fear. Whenever God is revealed to people, almost every time, there are a few occasions where they come secretly and later they realize what's going on. But when they see that it is God's presence with them in whatever form, the first response is almost always fear and guilt. Oh no, this is not good. You would think that people who are faithful and believing in God would be rejoicing to see his presence in whatever form, but along with that, we have the term God-fearing. And as much as we love God and want to know him, it seems whenever anyone sees his presence, the first response is, oh, I should not be here right now. If you're here, then I'm probably in the wrong room. Maybe you've had experiences like that in life, where you enter a room and you realize, nope, this was the wrong place. I shouldn't be here. Maybe you've gone into the wrong bathroom. You walk in there and there's like 25 women and you're like, nope, nope, wrong door, I'm sorry. I'm just going to leave immediately. Those times when you realize that you're in the wrong place, for Mary and Joseph, that's the same response, that fear. This is the wrong place for me. I'm not worthy to be here. And the first form of blessing is that the message starts by putting those fears aside. Do not be afraid. Mary's response, if you see in verse 28, the angel says, "Greeting, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And if I can summarize verse 29, "And so she got scared right away." That's even a very nice greeting. But that reminder, God is with her and do not be afraid. The same type of blessing comes in Matthew to Joseph. The message there starts in verse 20. "Joseph, do not fear to take Mary as your wife." That blessing of putting aside fear. For each of them, the message that God is with them, that he cares for them, that this is not world ending for them, but world beginning, that God is doing something new in their lives, the blessings that come upon them. And of course, we rejoice in the blessings of God as well, the blessings that we receive already, those things that God is doing day in and day out for us, the presence of his Holy Spirit with us, the work of Scripture, that we have such easy access to his word to encourage us, that God is with us. That first word of blessing, changing this message they receive from one of fear to one of joy and rejoicing, that God is good. That in every way, although Mary and Joseph themselves are inadequate, are unworthy in themselves to be in God's presence, still God is going to work through them. That God is blessing them. The message continues past this message only of blessing now to one of direction. And there is joy in that as well. Joy in God's direction for their lives. That these angels come with a message of what will be asked of them in the future, to set the course of where they will go next. For Mary, this message in verse 30, you have found favor with God, is immediately followed up with, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You're going to have a baby. For Joseph, that same type of direction. You've made up your mind about it. But let me just change your plans. It's interesting that the angel probably could have come much earlier to Joseph. That Joseph doesn't receive the message at the same time that Mary does, well before she is pregnant, before that could be noticeable. But instead, after he has already resolved to divorce her quietly. I don't know how long after. In my imagination, it's that same night that he's had a troubled day. And he says, all right, I guess the only choice, the only thing left to do is to divorce her. We got to call this off and we'll try to protect her as much as I can by doing it quietly. And finally, he lays down to sleep and the angel comes in the dream. All right, well, now that you've made your choice, let me tell you what God says. And yet there is joy in that direction. Joy in knowing what God has in store for you, what he has called you to, what he is pointing to next. This would be, a fearful situation. A new family starting with this unknown child. But with the word of God, with his direction, is turned into one of joy. This is not a marriage that starts off on the rocks, but rather one that starts with great joy, knowing that God is at work among them, that God has a plan for them. Some of the greatest joys in life come knowing God's plan. Even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of a difficult situation, even feeling like this might be more work than I think I can do myself. When you have that confidence that this is where God has put you and what he has called you to, there is joy in his direction. To know you are following the right path. To going the right way. I know in my own life, there have been many times of great prayer centered around that aspect. What next, Lord? Where do we go from here? What is the next step? How should I respond to the situation? Oftentimes, those answers come very slowly. I certainly have never had an angel appear to me in a dream and lay out what the rest of my life was going to be like. But you hear from his word, from the encouragement of believers around you. That is one of the great blessings that we give to each other. Is help in discerning God's direction for people's lives. To be in fellowship with each other in a close enough way that you know what they are going through. That as they are making these decisions in their life, that as they're coming to situations that they're unclear about, other people of faith are beside them, are able to speak to them, sometimes to chastise. Now, you don't really think God would be happy if you did that. Do you? Oh, you're unclear on this? Let me just point you to a verse or two here. Remind you that you can't really do what you are trying to do. Or sometimes to encourage people. To say, yeah, I really think you're doing the best you can to follow Jesus here. I'll support you in this. I see how God could use you in this situation. I think you can be even more bold knowing that God is with you in this. To share that joy in God's direction of our lives. God, of course, has called us maybe not to the same mission as Mary and Joseph in the raising of this child. And yet he is very clear on the things he has called us to. We also are set out on a mission from God. That's a famous line from the Blues Brothers movie, right? That they justify what they're doing because they're on a mission from God. We know the mission that we've been given. To live out those lives of obedience. To proclaim the gospel. And it is a mission of joy as well. Because the gospel is good news. We are not sharing a message of death and destruction, although that is part of it, but sharing a message of salvation from death and destruction, life and joy. All of this is rooted in the fact that we are sure of these things. If Mary and Joseph had only had a neighbor stop by, it would not have had the same impact. Even these same words, things that they later will see come true, it wouldn't be the same coming from an unreliable source. But this is a message from God. And there is joy in God's promise. That God is true and faithful. That the good things he has promised we can be sure of because we know the one who is making the promises. There are good things that lie ahead. To Mary, the angel said in verse 32 that your son will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Back in Matthew, Joseph is told something similar. In verse 21, she will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God is at work. There was a great future that lay ahead for Mary and Joseph, for this child that they had not yet met. God's promise at work. And as we come to Christmas, we rejoice not just in the birth of Jesus, but that from the very beginning, there was that promise of what he would do. That this boy would be a king. That he would rule. That he would save his people. That he would save people from their sins. And on the one hand, it seems that for much of the ministry of Jesus and the work that he did, that was disappointing to some. Almost this aspect of, oh, just from our sins? But what about the Romans? They're here right now. And yet, it is the greatest blessing. It is the greatest joy to be saved from our sins. To rejoice that God is at work. That he has promises for us. We rejoice in this, and we can share that joy at Christmas in the work of God, in what he has promised, in his blessings and his direction of each of us, in the future we look forward to. I have a little something that I'm going to distribute here, and maybe Matthew, if you want to help here, or maybe Rebecca can help you. I have boxes of Christmas cards, and I'm going to ask that these are given one to each of you. There's cards and envelopes for them, so you have to, I don't know, reverse collate them. But everyone should get some cards and some envelopes, and you can pass them down the row here. As my encouragement, that you would take this card and you would either think of somebody, if God puts a name on your heart, of someone to send one out to, or that you would keep it with you. And when you are going to go somewhere, if you have a pen with you in your car and you leave the card in your car as well, before you go into the bank, you can write out a little Christmas card to the person who maybe you're not even sure will be your bank teller that day. And when you head into a restaurant, you can have a card to give. That you would take this opportunity to give one extra card for Christmas. For some of you, maybe you already have a stack of 300 that you're mailing out. And 301 seems a little excessive. But I asked that you would humor me. For some of you, maybe your stack was zero, and now this is the first time you're going to need a stamp all year. But to take this opportunity to share joy at Christmas time. And that when you write in this card, that you would keep these elements of the word of the angels in mind. That God is at work. That if it is to someone you know, you can share a little bit about the way God has blessed you. Even if it is to a stranger, you can say, God has blessed me so much this last year, without giving them any of the details. You can share of the joy that you have in his direction. I felt like I should send this card to you. And you can share of God's promise. At Christmas, we rejoice in so much more than lights and presents. That Jesus has come. So I hope that you will take these, and I hope we didn't run out of them too much. If not, you might have to buy yourself a Christmas card to send. But you would take this, and each week I want to share another element of joy with you as we come to Christmas and get into the Christmas spirit, as they say. But that you would take those steps to share joy with others. Even if it's a fearful activity for you and you're a little afraid to put something too personal or too religious in the card, maybe this is an opportunity for you to stretch a little. To say Jesus loves you. To pass this on in a way that can share some of the good news and the work of Jesus. That is what we celebrate at Christmas. Not just another cute baby, but that God is at work in this world. Not just what Jesus did in being born, but what he would continue to do in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. Amen? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence here with us. And we ask that you would stir us up to know and to love you more. That you would help us to remember and to celebrate vocally to all who are nearby the reason for this season. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.